Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come, just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. We're actually going to stop right there. Our verses today are a little broken up. If you notice, we're actually starting only on the last verse of a paragraph, and then going into a new paragraph, and then kind of stopping suddenly in verse 14. There's a reason for that. Once again, I've explained it kind of before, but quite simply, we're focusing right now on the passages that touch on interacting with one another as a church. And verse 11 has truth in it concerning our study. And then the following verses have it, and then it ends there in verse 15 as far as our focus this morning. So we're going to just look at verses 11 through 14 this morning, but I want us once again to dip down real quick and get a context of the passage. And especially in this passage, having the context will help us see what we are to be, what the original readers would have been taking away, and therefore then how we are able to apply different things to our lives now, removed from the original time of the reading and what it meant to those readers, but the truths that carry through for us today as a church. So real quick, we look at chapter 4. If you look at the heading, if you have one over verse 13, we see those who died in Christ. Okay, we did this in our study for men's and women's fellowships, so it should be familiar for most of us. You see there, the issue is addressed of those who have died in Christ. Where are they? What's going on with them? We see them again. And he addresses them and encourages them that, look at verse 17 as we already read, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we shall always be with the Lord, therefore comfort one another with these words. The fact that if we have died in Christ, you actually what? You live with Christ. There is a comfort that he is pushing forward to the readers. And then he starts speaking of the day of the Lord in chapter 5. The fact that they know of these things that he's telling them, and they know, as he's already explained to them, that the Lord will come. In verse 10, that those, so whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with who? With Christ. That one day, as believers, whether we've died before he comes back, or we are alive when he returns, we will all to be together with who? With Christ and him. And based upon these things, in light of knowing the end times are near and that we have salvation heading into the day of the Lord, when our salvation will be made complete, and comfort in knowing that all of us who have accepted Christ will live together with him one day, we are to fulfill the following commands. For he has, therefore, building off upon this. So in light of knowing that the end times are near and we have salvation heading into the day of the Lord, when our salvation will be made complete, we are to fulfill verse 11. Here we see, therefore, because of these things, because the day of the Lord is approaching, because you have salvation, and you are able to enter into the coming judgment, which Christ will take us out of. Why? Because we are in him. We need not fear those things, but we can look forward to them, and we can look forward to the fact that we will be taken up out of this world and freed from sin and death and sorrow. And those who have passed before we do are going to be in that same state and are already where? Present with the Lord. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We can encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing. So let's look at verse 11 to start off. Because of the context that we just went through, they are to encourage one another and build up one another. Encourage, this is an active and present word. It is to come alongside of, to strengthen or to give support. And this word building up or edifying, it's the same word used in the idea of construction. Right, so building a building, to build up. So brothers and sisters, as we are part of the church and know that the end day is drawing near, we are to be building each other up, making our church look more mature and as a grown-up body. And as each one of us are a member of the church, those of us who are members of the church and those who attend diligently certainly have an impact. That would be God's will for them to join, right? But as we meet together as a church, we are to be building up one another through edification and encouraging one another. Specifically in this context, and be encouraging one another in light of the lost loved ones, all right? And the fact that one day they will be together with Christ. But does that mean that's the only time we are to encourage one another? Does that mean that's the only circumstance in which we can edify one another? Absolutely not. They are to be doing these things in relationship to that, and in the context of verses 1 through 10, certainly they are to be doing it when? All the time in different aspects of their lives, in life, in the church. And also we see, he does note something, just as you are also what? Verse 11. Just as you are also doing. All right, so we see that they are already doing this, that he has either seen this happening or heard reports of this happening, and that they are already encouraging one another, but he is going further and continuing to encourage them to encourage one another. He is imploring them to continue to build one another up. And next we see in verse 12, this is a new paragraph. It's a new line of thought. But it continues on in how we are to interact with one another. Therefore, it's a wonderful continuing to look on. Here we see, it says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, that you esteem them very highly in love, because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone." So here we see a reminder to honor those who God has given us to lead the church. We can praise the Lord for the work of Pastor John. can praise the Lord for the work of Burke through the many years of his service here, can praise the Lord for the work of Mamen, as he was an elder here as well, and just moved away. We are to appreciate their work according to God's word, that it is okay to thank them in the Lord and for their ministry. We are to understand that God has placed them here in charge. Look at this verse with me. Appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have what? Charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. So if we are a part of this church and God has placed leaders among us to instruct us and to guide us, and we are to be thankful and have appreciation for those who God has placed here. If we have appreciation for them, what would we be doing? We would be submitting ourselves under their what? Under their instruction and leading. So folks, we ought to be, as we are a body, as we are a church living and dwelling together, as the body of Christ and being built up, we are to be submitting ourselves under, in appreciation and love, towards those who diligently labor among and God has given charge over us to give us instruction. And last, you look at verse 13, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. We are to esteem them in love because of the labor that they perform, that God has given them. This is a key part of a church's life. Unfortunately, I have been in churches where this was not being done. Unfortunately, I've been in churches where the people grumbled and complained and did not appreciate the pastor that the Lord had placed over them. And it does not create a healthy atmosphere. Does not create an atmosphere where you love and serve one another. Does not create an atmosphere of encouragement for one another. I can say by God's grace, I'm encouraged as Liz and I have been here just about over 2 years now, going on 2.5 years, that the Lord has blessed this church with a unity and an appreciation for the leadership that God has placed here. But let me do what we just saw in verse 11. Continue doing that. Do it better. Continue to pursue to follow God's word in having appreciation and submission and love and esteem for those who God places here. It's a wonderful part of the body, of the functioning of the body, of the church. So I'd admonish us to continue doing so. We also see in the very last part of verse 13, it says, live in peace with one another. Live in peace with one another. So if you missed that blank, sorry, we are to be thankful for God's placement and work through the leaders in our church. We are to be thankful for the leaders in our church. The end of verse 13 now, we are to be a what? A peaceful family. We are to be a peaceful family. And here we see a point that it is not directly tied, okay, to the context above. It is a new paragraph. But where are we coming from? The truth that who is coming back? Christ is returning. The end day is coming, that we have salvation, all right? Building off of salvation and the end day. Does this seem like a reoccurring theme now in the one another's? It is, right? We've seen this multiple times now. Building off of these things, we are to what? Live in peace with one another. Very often, church families can forget that they're on the same team, right? Very often, church families can forget that there is a much greater battle going on than the color of the carpets. There's a much greater battle going on than what type of coffee you drink. are served at the fellowships, right? We are to live in peace with one another. Why? Because Christ is coming back one day. Because we have salvation. Because whether we are dead or alive, we will all live together one day with who? With Christ. And these are much greater truths than our personal preferences. These are much more glorious things to live after than our personal preferences. We can live in peace with one another as the body of Christ. So we are to be a peaceful family. Next, in verse 14, we see four quick admonishments. We see that there is an urging. It is an addressing of who? Of all. We see brethren. All right? It is an addressing of all those listening, the brethren, not just the leaders, all right, as some would think. All are to serve and minister. All right? So real quick, we saw in verse 12 and 13, we see reference. It's not addressing the leaders, actually. It's addressing those who are under the leadership. But we see that the leaders are have charge to what? To instruct. God has placed them here to instruct and to lead. But beyond that, we see, are they the only ones that are doing anything in the church? Absolutely not. Because in the very next verse, in verse 14 now, we see we urge you who? Brethren, all of you listening who have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, here is how you serve in the church. Though you may not be in a place, a visible place of leadership, one of the ones mentioned in verses 12 through 13, you are a part of the body and you are to be serving. And here are some certain ways in which you serve. We see admonish the unruly. Could also be the idle, quite possibly referring to those who in light of end times began to neglect their daily duties. This could also now be seen as those who think they might as well be lazy for Christ is returning any minute, or for those who may be lazy because they don't live their lives in light of the fact that Christ's return is imminent. It could be coming back, right? You have to walk that tightrope. You have those in history and those even now who say, Christ's return is going to be any time, so why even live? Why would it even be worth it? You have those who think, man, we've been waiting for 2,000 years. I'm sure it's going to be a long time, and they forget that Christ is returning and they don't live their life in light of Christ's return. Admonish the unruly. Admonishment is to lead someone back to where they ought to be. It is to warn them. So brothers and sisters, as the day is drawing near, we need to help keep each other in line, right? To help keep each other in the right focus. And this also means that we ourselves need to be willing to what? To accept people admonishing who? Us. If we are commanded to admonish the unruly among ourselves, we have to consider that there may be times where we are unruly and need to be admonished ourselves. Now, this word unruly, it makes us think of like somebody disrupting things, or really, you know, that's not necessarily the idea behind it, okay? And you might think, well, I'd never be unruly and disrupt a service. We're not talking about unruly kids, right, being too loud. It's the idea here of just having a misfocus, all right? Not having the right mindset. And we are to be going amongst the body of the church and keeping each other in the right mindset concerning the things of the Lord. We are to be pushing and guiding each other towards the right direction. Can this happen if we don't even know each other? Can this happen if all we talk about is the weather or sports? Can't. We need to go deeper in our relationships if we want to be able to serve one another as the body of Christ, as the church. We are to encourage the faint-hearted. Once again, let's remember the context, all right? So the context, very possibly or most likely, this is referring to those who may be discouraged by the absence of loved ones gone to be with the Lord. You look at the context of this chapter and the chapter before. So we see we are to encouraging, once again, a resurface of encouraging one another. Here we see that we are to encourage specifically the faint-hearted, or those who are weak or fearing failure, those who are cast down. And I'd say especially in our culture, we are good at on the surface looking like everything is what? A-okay, right? That is part of our culture here in America. We are not emotional. And yet, if we are to function as a church, we need to be willing to what? To share with each other the hurts or the sorrows or the struggles that we are going through so that we can be helped. And you know what? As you do that with somebody, you know what that may do? You simply sharing, that may be an encouragement to somebody else to hear that somebody else is struggling and needs encouragement and is trying to focus on the Lord through faint-heartedness. Because often when everybody on the outside has it together and we always say, hey, how you doing this week? Great, fantastic. And you've had an awful week and you feel faint-hearted and you feel weak, that person thinks, well, everybody at church has everything together and they never struggle and I'm always struggling. We need to be willing to be open with one another. Allow each other as our family, church family that God has placed each one of us specifically in this family for a purpose. We need to allow ourselves to be encouraged, and we need to be willing and looking for opportunities to encourage and strengthen and come alongside others. We also see helping the weak. It's most likely, once again, in the context would be referring to those who maybe have weak faith in response to knowing the day of the Lord is coming. It's not referring necessarily to faith that gives up, right? But weak faith. So not only encourage, but do something to help them. What are some of the things that we can do? Often, it's easy for us to go, oh, I'll be praying for you. And then do we go ahead and pray for them? We forget, right? Life gets busy. Or you hear of people's problems and their weak, or the things that they're struggling with, and oh, yeah, that's really awful. All right, well, have a good day. See you next Sunday. Folks, we need to be willing to do something for others. Don't just talk, right? Act. If you see someone in need, spiritually come alongside of them or put them where they need to be with someone that can come alongside of them, maybe better than you can. If you're not comfortable doing a Bible study with them, but you know they need to have a Bible study, be encouraged in a certain area of their lives, help them make that happen. If they simply need to be prayed with, take them aside that moment. Pray alongside of them. Share with them from God's word. Help the weak. Encourage the faint-hearted. And lastly, we see we are to be patient with everyone. We are to be patient with everyone. Once again, we see now a focus on patience, as we've seen before in the one another's. And you think of keeping, this is along the lines of what? Keeping what? Peace, right? In verse 14, we see, be patient with everyone. You watch little children, right? And if one steals a toy, what does the other one typically do? Hit or try to what? Steal the toy back. And do you have to teach the kids to do this? No. All right? If any of you are parents out there, you know you don't teach the kids to do that. In fact, hopefully you're instructing them not to do that. I'm sure Bert and Renee instructed Stephen and Lindsay a bunch of times not to steal toys from each other. Right? And yet, when they were growing up, I'm sure they stole, Stephen stole Lindsay's dolls all the time, right? Lindsay stole Stephen's trucks. But it happens. Russell and Amelia, as they're playing, Amelia loves taking what Russell is playing with, right? She's at that age. And Russell's automatic response is a response of patience, right? No, he has a natural response of retaliation, a natural response of anger. Now, if you're also parents, maybe you've noticed in different children or different people, there is some tend simply to be naturally what seems on the outside more patient than others, right? If a toy is taken from them, they don't naturally lash out, but maybe on the inside they're what? They're boiling on the inside and they're mad on the inside. Does that mean they're being more patient than the other one? Maybe on the outside it seems like it. So this command here, be patient with everyone, is not a natural response, right? And of course, we know that patience is one of the fruits of the what? Of the Spirit. So true patience is not a natural thing that we can produce. It is produced by the Spirit of God working inside of our lives. So as I just told the story, what are some of the truths that we can take away from be patient with one another? Well, as I already mentioned, if you watch little children and one steals a toy, the other one hits or steals the toy back. That is the natural response, and unfortunately, you know what? We adults, we don't grow out of that. It may manifest itself in other ways. We may learn, oh, he just stole my pencil. We don't automatically lash out and hit, right? Or scream or throw a temper tantrum, but in our hearts, we have evil thoughts towards that person. We have impatient thoughts towards that person. Very often, you'll hear people say, but you don't understand what this person or that person did in order for me to be impatient with them. That's the point, folks. That's the point. If nobody ever wronged each other and we were all perfect, we wouldn't need to be commanded to be what? To be patient or live in peace with one another. The whole point is the fact that you will be wronged, people will mess up, and yet, in response, we need a response of patience towards one another. Quite possibly, once again, bringing it back to the context, though, most likely pointing to needing to be patient with those who are unruly, faint-hearted, and weak. We are to be what? Patient. But, of course, we see patient with who? Everyone. So as we interact, whether people deserve the patience or not, whether they are struggling with different things that we need to help them with, whether they are simply weak and faint-hearted and we need to encourage them and help them, whether they are unruly actually right now, not having the proper mindset, and we need to admonish them and point them back in the right direction, or whether simply they, by accident, offend you, we are to be patient. And lastly, as we already mentioned, this is a supernatural thing. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, it's not a normal natural response or temperament or a keeping inside of frustration, but rather Spirit-given bearing with one another's in love. So do not think you're all set on this one if you are not naturally a forward person. Naturally, you are an introvert, so you don't talk back or show any anger or respond. But in your spirit, what are you doing? You're doing the very things that other people do on the outside. We all need to grow in our patience towards one another. We all, by the grace of God, the work of the Spirit, need patience produced in our lives amongst each other. So let me quickly go over. In light of knowing the end times are near and we have salvation heading into the day of the Lord, when our salvation will be made complete, we are to fulfill the following commands. Verse 11, we are to be encouraging the church, or building up the church. Verses 12 and 13, we are to be thankful for God's placement and work through the leaders in our church. We are to be a peaceful family. We are to be willing to admonish or confront, if that's a better word for you, confront one another. We are to be specifically on the lookout to encourage those who need encouragement. We are to be helping those who need help. And we are to be patient whether or not our family deserves our patience. So I tried to keep us focused on what the original readers would have been understanding in this context, right? Of the end times and the passing away of loved ones, their absence. But there are some incredible truths that stay, right? That carry over to us now, a couple thousand years later. What are they? Well, let's think of some applications quickly. What is the driving reason for us to be involved in serving our church family? What would it be? Our salvation and whose return? Christ's return. That is the driving reason. As we've seen multiple times now in the one another's, something that precedes the commands for serving one another and interacting one another is our salvation and Christ's return. Or the coming judgment is a driving reason. It's not the only reason, but it is a main driving reason for us to be involved in serving our church family. There's a question, how are some ways that we can encourage or help one another? Quite simply, as we serve amongst ourselves, right? If you are serving and you see people serving, is that encouraging others? Absolutely. As people see us, lead by example. So if you are going through a struggle in your life or trial in your life, but by God's grace you're able to keep the right mindset and not grow weak or faint-hearted, but rather stay focused upon the Lord and Christ's return and the fact that this earth is but a vapor, would that be encouraging to others as they go through trials, seeing you keep the right mindset by God's grace? Absolutely. Can we just simply come up sometimes and listen? Yeah. I think all of us, and I'm not saying because of certain examples, I'm saying because we are humans, all right? I think all of us could do better at learning to just listen to other people. I think we all could do better in taking a moment to put our arm around others and pray for them. Even on the spot. Somebody asks you to pray for them, don't say, oh yeah, I'll pray for them, and then forget. Pray with them right then. Then you won't forget, right? You do it right at that moment. Be looking to encourage one another. Encourage them to be a bigger part of the church family. Those of you who are just in reading group, we went through an incredible book. And as you talk and continue to get to know others and grow in your understanding of their struggles, you might think, wow, they would really benefit from meeting together with a smaller group of people and focusing on a book that points us to Christ and God's Word. How can we show appreciation for the work those God has placed over us? Have thankful hearts, loving attitudes. Understand that who has placed them there? God has placed them there to give us what? Instruction, so be willing to listen to their what? Their instruction. Be willing to listen and submit ourselves under the leadership that God has placed. And lastly, how can we be a part of building up the church? It's kind of a trick question, but would be doing what? All of the things that we just, what? Looked at. As we interact as a church together and we perform these things by God's grace through the work of the Spirit, what will happen to the church? It will be what? Torn down or built up? Be built up by God's grace. So may we do these things. May we be patient. May we be building the church up. May we encourage and help the weak and the faint-hearted. May we be, as I already mentioned, patient with one another. May we be submissive to God's leadership and thankful for them. May we be willing to confront one another when confrontation needs to take place. Father, thank you once again for your word, and may we grow from these truths. Pray that you would give us the strength, the will, and the ability to do these things. Pray these things through our Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.